He sent him to find a wife for his son, Isaac. Now, can you imagine trying to find a wife for somebody else? I know a whole lot of people didn't do such a hot job finding one for themselves, let alone finding one for somebody else. Now, I don't want to step on anybody's toes. If you believe differently than this, I'm for you. Whatever the preacher says is right. But people, a while back, they were getting into this courtship thing, and they were selecting their children's spouse while the children were like 14 and 15 years old. Preacher says anything different than this, he's right and I'm wrong. But my attitude is, you are an idiot. First of all, 14 and 15-year-olds don't need to be thinking about getting married. Second of all, you don't know what they're going to be in a few years. See, the Bible says, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Now, you can get a spendthrift all by yourself, but you want to get a prudent wife, you better get God in on the deal early. So, that's Abraham's job in Eliezer's job in verse 10. The servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed for all the goods of the master in his hand. And he rose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass that before he had done speaking, I like that. Behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abram's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? Who is us? Who's with Eliezer? 10 camels. It is bad enough if your daughter brings a strange man home to spend the night. It is really bad to find 10 camels parked in the front yard when you show up home from work. And she said unto him, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said, moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute, my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. There is a sermon in that verse. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Did you know God leads people who are in the way? Somebody said it this way, it's really hard to steer a parked car. But you can steer a car that's moving. Now, I don't know all God's going to do. I hope you get that property because I liked it what I saw, but I know whatever you get, it's going to be great. It's going to be just what God has for you. But I do know this, you're moving and God's going to steer you. But that's not the sermon I'm preaching tonight. Lord, would you guide me by your Spirit? Help me to say that which would most help this body, the individuals that make up this wonderful church. And would you allow me to be used to do what you want done for this group at this time? Bind the devil and keep he and his demons from interfering with us receiving this good seed of your word. Bless the preaching, the invitation, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name for all that you do. Amen. You may be seated. Let me thank you again for all your kindness, wonderful meals the preacher has purchased for me, and a great place to stay in your wonderful spirit. Let me just say this about the materials. What I showed you last night is still here. No one stole it, so that's a good sign. And I'm going to take it back, and these are the only books that are left. All the other books are gone. And there's some CDs and some DVDs left. So anything on the table, the deal is the same as it was last night. It's yours for your gift of a love offering. If you want something and I'm out of it, if you'll pay the regular price, I will mail it to you and I'll pay the postage, okay? I don't have the same arrangement with the U.S. Postal Service as I do with my publishers, and so I have to be a little different there. But if you take care of the regular price, I'll pay the postage and get it back to you. I want you to have what you'd like to have. Thank you for your kindness. Have you ever wondered why God uses some people and does not use others? When I was in college, there was a guy, I could tell you his name, he was sharp. I mean, the guy had a thick head of wavy hair. He wore French cuffs with fancy cufflinks. Those are fancy cufflinks. Those are the one the preacher and his family gave me. He was somebody. I mean, he was the president of this and the vice president of that. And while the rest of us were scrounging around trying to find a bar or to preach outside a bar or a rescue mission or a jail somewhere, he was holding revival meetings. Everybody knew he was going to really do something for God. He said God called him to be evangelist, so he moved to the Detroit area and he took a job for Ford Motor Company. Because he said he had to take care of his family while he was getting ready to be an evangelist, because you would not want to trust God to take care of your family. You'd much better trust the Ford Motor Company. He had a few meetings. I preached to the church where he's attending his father-in-law's church, and man, a guy was sharp. And then he had an idea, and he started a kind of an unusual sort of travel company. It grossed $4 million its first year. By the end of the second year, the FBI was looking for him to indict him for fraud. Never did anything to speak of for Christ. But I'm thinking of another guy. He came to our church. He was on his way to the mission field, and he was not what you would call sharp. If you want to know what he had for lunch, just look at his necktie. His shirt tail always seemed to hang out a little longer than his coat tail, no matter what you did. But I noticed the guy's bringing people in church all the time. I said, where are you finding these folks? Well, he said there's a store that had been a union store and they sold to a non-union store, and so the union was striking. And he found out that the picketers were not union members. They were paid minimum wage by the union to picket in front of that store. So he'd go out there and he'd say, hey, can I talk to you? I said, I don't care. Guys got to walk back and forth anyway. And so he'd give him the gospel into Christ. He went to Florida. There was a man in Florida who said to him, I would like you to become my assistant pastor, but I can't pay you any money. You have to raise your own salary. And so he came, by the way, I'd like to extend that offer to anyone in this room. I'd be glad for you to be my assistant pastor. You just have to raise your own salary. And so that's done around here. I understand that. And so he went down there and, man, he built a class and he bought a bunch of pine trees in Michigan where they're cheap, had them shipped to Florida, sold them, made a bunch of money. Phenomenal guy. He's at that. He went to Brazil. He had to come off the field. His wife died and some other things happened along the way. But he now is working in that church, and the preacher told me just last month, he said, the most profitable guy I have is that guy. Why? How come the guy that was so good looking and so talented and so sharp didn't do anything for God, and the guy with egg on his tie did? I don't know that I know all the answer, but I think a large part of it is in this story. And I want to talk to you tonight about watering camels. Eliezer's got to find a bride for Isaac. He has no idea how to do that. So he stands outside the well. It's evening. The women of the city come to draw water there in the cool of the day. And he says, Lord, I've got to get a bride for Isaac. Would you do this? I'm going to ask for a drink. And will you let the woman who not only offers to give me a drink, but also offers to water all my camels, would you let that be the one that's going to be Isaac's wife? Now, the requirement was very unusual. to ask for a drink of water, give me, I pray thee, a little water from thy pitcher. That was very normal. It had been a breach of etiquette and a lack of common courtesy to not give somebody a drink in Bible times. They had no drinking fountains. They had no bottled water. And he wouldn't have had any way to get down in the well and get the water out of there. And so that was a normal thing to ask for. And she said, sure. But to water the camels, that's really unusual. You see, these camels, I've studied it out, and they say they're the one hump camel, and they could weigh up to 3,000 pounds. They could consume up to one half of their weight in water. I'm sorry, they weigh up to 1,500 pounds, and they could consume half their weight in water, so they could consume 750 pounds of water. There were 10 camels. That means that they together could have needed 7,500 pounds of water. Now, I know you think we preachers exaggerate, so I'll tell you what, I'll cut it in half, and we'll say they're only half thirsty. They're only going to drink 3,750 pounds of water. How much does a gallon of water weigh? About 8 pounds. So you divide 8 into 3,750, and you come up with, that's right, about 490 gallons of water. Now, how many gallons of water could she carry in her pitcher, which was on her shoulder? I remind you, the pitcher could not have been made of lightweight plastic. It was likely clay. Might even have been stone. So what do you think? 8 pounds per gallon. How many gallons could she reasonably be expected to carry on her shoulder? 2-3 gallons. Let's be generous again. Let's say she can carry 5 gallons. She's been working out. She's been down to Planet Fitness. So now she's got 490 gallons of water. If she can get 5 gallons at a time, that means she's got to have about 48 trips. 48, is that right? What were we at? 490 gallons. Yeah, so it'd be about 90-some trips. 95 trips if it's 490. Now, I don't know how far it was from the well to the trough, but the Bible says she ran. So it's far enough to pick up speed. So she runs over here, and she lowers down the bucket. She picks up the bucket. She puts it in the pitcher, puts the pitcher on her shoulder. She runs over here. She dumps it down in the trough. She goes back only about 94 trips to go, and she lowers down the bucket, and she pulls it up, puts it in the pitcher on her shoulder, and she runs over here, and she dumps it into the trough, and then she goes back, and she lowers the bucket down in the well, pulls it up, puts it in the pitcher, puts the pitcher on her shoulder, runs back here, puts it into the trough, and she's got to do that 95 times. Very unusual. Not only that, it was unfair. Do you know what Eliezer did the whole time he did this? This is what it says. The man wondering at her held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. It was real unusual. It was really unfair. He didn't help a bit. But it was unequivocal. If she was to be the bride for Isaac, then she had to be willing to draw water for all of his camels, and he was just going to wait and see what happened. But notice not only the requirement, notice the response. I really like this. Her response was unprompted. You know, if some of us had been like, or if Eliezer had been like some people I know, he would have said, oh, thank you for that water. Oh, that is such good water. Oh, that tastes so good. I wonder, I bet you my camels would like some water like that. I don't have any way to get it to them, but I bet they'd like it. Now, those are my camels. Do they look thirsty to you? I'm praying God will put it on somebody's heart to water my camels. My really sad, really tired, really thirsty camels. I hope you're a camel lover. Yeah, I've met people like that. They always got to let you know what they want and what they need. And wasn't that way at all. He just said, could I have a drink of water? And she just saw that there were some thirsty camels there, and she offered to help with him. Can I tell you something? One of the things that has happened in the work of the Lord Jesus is that we expect to be begged. We expect to be pleaded with. We expect to be mollycoddled, and oh, would you please, and if you would, and we really need you, and we got to have you. And somebody's got to appeal to our ego. And people say, well, nobody asked me to go out soul winning. Nobody asked me to help in the Sunday school. Nobody asked me to participate in that ministry. Well, I got an idea. If there's any thirsty camels around, why don't you just volunteer? You can see when there's a floor that needs vacuuming. You can see where there's a job that needs to be done. You can see there's a new member that needs some attention. You can see there's a new Christian that needs somebody to disciple and mentor and encourage them. Don't wait for a gilded invitation on some kind of a silver platter. Why don't you just volunteer? Unprompted. And it was unhesitating. She had come to draw water for her family, but she stopped that and she immediately helped Eliezer water his camels. Preacher, I'm a little busy right now. I'm getting my apprenticeship done, working on my journeyman's card, but as soon as I get that done, you can count on me. You know, we're building this house and it's taking a lot of my time, but once the house is done, you know, the children are young and they require a lot of attention, but as soon as they're grown up and I can, you know, trust them to be on their own, I'll be back in the choir. And we all have these great things we're going to do when our schedule frees up, when things get a little better for us. Did you know God doesn't give a rip what you would do with the time you don't have? But he's real interested in what you'll do with the time that he's already given you. And he's not interested in what you plan to do when you get older, what you plan to do when the children are off to college, what you plan to do when the house is built and the job is done and the MBA is finished and all of that sort of nonsense. He wants to know what you're going to do now. And Rebecca said, they're thirsty now. The need is there now. I came to do something else, but I'll stop in the middle of it. I will not hesitate. I'll immediately draw water for your camels. Can I tell you, there's souls that need to be saved in Austin, Texas now. And there are families that need to be reached now, and their marriages that need to be put together now, and their lives that need to be helped now, and you can't wait until it's convenient for you. Unprompted, unhesitating, and it was unfaltering. I will draw water for all thy camels until they have done drinking. Brother Howell told me one time the average life of a church worker was 7 years. He said the people that built First Baptist Church of Hammond years ago were either not there or they're in the pews just sitting there. He went on to say, but their checks still cash. Now, he didn't run them off, but he recognized you always had to be recruiting new workers. Man, our churches are full of people who used to go soul winning and used to teach a Sunday school class and used to be involved in this ministry and used to sing in the choir and used to help in that area and used to help in this other regard and work in this other manner. But the fact of the matter is that there's still a bunch of thirsty camels out there. There's still a bunch of lost souls. Our nation is in as bad a shape as it's ever been. It is a dark time for the United States of America. Who would have thought you'd see the day that the Attorney General of our country would tell the Attorneys General of all the states, you don't have to enforce a law that says marriage is only between a man and a woman if you don't like that law. Can you imagine such a thing? I don't like the speed laws. I don't like the income tax laws. There's a bunch of laws I don't like. And if we start to say everybody can do anything they want, you're going to have anarchy in this country. And I think that may be where we're headed if God doesn't send some refreshing and some revival. But listen to me. The answer is not to get a Republican in the White House. And the answer is not to get somebody else in the Attorney General's office. The answer is never on the outside. The answer is always on the inside. And only Jesus can change people's hearts. And somebody needs to pick up the pitcher and run to the trough and run back to the well and fill it up again and go back to the trough and water camels until they have done drinking. There are still lost souls we can reach. There are still broken hearts that can be healed. There are still families torn apart that Jesus can put back together. And she said, I'll keep on doing it until the camels have done drinking. And then I want you to notice the reward. Now, the interesting thing about the reward to me is that it was unknown. Suppose an Eliezer stood up. Ladies, may I have your attention, please? I have right here before your very eyes these golden jewels. I have this golden bracelet and these golden earrings, and they come out together to about 4 ounces of gold. I have these 10 camels. The first lady, he was willing. Man, they'd all volunteer. But he didn't say that. Tell me, what's God going to do for you if you serve him faithfully? Well, he's going to bless you. Okay, how's he going to bless you? He doesn't say. He just promises it'll be good. It's going to be real good. But did you know the Lord wants people who will serve him not as hirelings? I'll give you just one of the many things that impressed me about this church is the many people who give of their time in what in other places would be perhaps a salaried position, and they think it's a privilege, and they think it's an honor, and they're glad to do it, and they're right. And they don't say, well, what's in it for me? What do we get? No, when Rebecca offered to volunteer to water the camels, there hadn't been a mention made of the reward. Unknown. It was unbelievable. Do you know what she got? She got 4 ounces worth of gold. What's an ounce of gold worth today? Anybody know roughly how much? $1,300. So $1,300, she got 4 ounces, then that means she got $5,200 worth of gold. How long did she work for that $5,200? I don't know, but it was evening. So she couldn't work real long. Let's stretch it out again. Let's say she worked 4 hours for $5,200. Would you work 4 hours for $5,200? Some of you, yes, first time in your life. I'll work if I can get $5,200. That's $10,400 a day. That is $52,000 a week. That's a lot of money. That's about $2.5 million a year, even after taxes. You could live on that if you were careful. Wow, what a deal. I believe this with all my heart. I wasn't going to say this part, but I will. When I went to the First Baptist Church of Bridgeport in 1975, I'd been an assistant pastor for a couple years. I graduated from college at the age of 20. And I got married, went to work in the church. And my salary went down 25% when I went to First Baptist Church from being an assistant pastor. The church was not much. They had a couple old motel buildings. They had been when Dixie Highway was the main way up north before they built I-75. And they were crummy. Chunks of drywall were falling off the wall. They used them for the Sunday school classes and the junior churches. They had space heaters in there right out in the middle of the floor, and they put chicken wire around it so the kids wouldn't burn themselves on the space heaters. Worms crawled onto the slab floor every time it rained. We're the only church I know that at one time had a worm ministry, and we had guys go in Sunday morning and scrape the worms off the floor. Had a handful of pews on each side, old blonde oaken pews. The shellac had softened. We had no air conditioning then, so when you'd sit down in the summertime, your clothes would stick to the pews. And you get up and it'd go whoosh. That wasn't the best part. The best part was the seats had kind of sagged, and when you sit in them, they would kind of sag down a little bit from the back, and then when you'd stand up, they would come back to where they were, and if you're the last one standing, they would grab you. I mean, the house we're going to live in, little house next to the church, nobody had occupied it for 7 years. It had cigarette burns in the carpet where transients had stayed the night. Had no bathtub the first time we looked at it. Didn't bother me, but my wife likes to bathe every couple of months. Had somebody's ashes in the basement. What is the protocol when you find someone else's ashes? See, whose were they? I don't know, but I'm sure they were not mine. I threw them away. And I remember walking to that church, and I thought, dear Lord, how am I going to get anybody to come to this church? I wouldn't come to this church if I wasn't the pastor. And I had a couple other places, nicer buildings, nicer place to live. But God led me there. You know, I went there. I went there because I thought there were more people there to reach. And I thought there's more work to be done for God. And other places were nice. One was across the highway from Lake Huron. One was a mile and a half from Lake Michigan. But they didn't have as many people. And I just thought there were some camels there that could be watered and some souls that could be reached. And it didn't seem anybody else was doing a whole lot to reach that area with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, not many people were fighting me for that church. There wasn't a long list of applicants. They took a 22-year-old because they didn't have much to offer, and so they didn't expect much. And the fact of the matter is, I had no idea it had become the largest independent Baptist church in the state of Michigan. I had no idea that hundreds of our young people go off into full-time Christian service. I had no idea that God would give us the beautiful facilities that we had today. I had no idea about any of that. I did not know the reward. I just knew God wanted me to water some camels in Saginaw. I do believe this. If you knew what God would do if you served him, you'd be amazed. It was unknown. It was unbelievable. But a part of the reward was unchanging. I don't know what she did with the earrings and the bracelet. She may have kept them, and they may have become kind of insignificant because her husband became wealthy and she had a lot of other stuff. I don't know. But that wasn't the best part of the deal. The best part of the deal, she got Isaac. Now, you're going to laugh at this. I don't mean it to be funny. But people say there's smoking in the Bible because when Rebecca saw Isaac, you read further on the passage, she's riding out there. Her family did not love her very much because they said to her when she left, "Be thou the mother of thousands of millions." Who would wish that many pregnancies on their own daughter? I don't understand that, but... And she riding down, and she says to the servant, "Who is that in the field?" And they said, "That's Isaac." So people say there's smoking in the Bible because when she saw Isaac, the Bible says she lit off her camel. Now, there is humor in that statement. If you say he lit out of here, that doesn't mean he meandered away. That means he got out of there in a hurry. And it means she saw it. She said, "That is Isaac. Hello, Isaac. Hi, I'm Rebecca. I am your bride. Let's get this show on the road." I think she saw him and said, "What a hunk." Long time after, she probably didn't wear the earrings or the bracelet. She still had Isaac. Now, here's the point. If you're going to be used of God, if this church is going to do what God wants it to do, if you're going to do whatever your next step is, then there have to be some people who do more than offer a drink from the pitcher on their shoulder. There have to be some people in terms of labor, in terms of stewardship, and in terms of sacrifice, maybe in terms of distance that you travel to get to the church, they're going to have to do more than just give a drink off the shoulder. They're going to have to be willing to water the camels until they're done drinking. I've been to Hawaii several times. I've preached 5 years in a row in Kauai. I've led people to Christ there. I've had visitors come to church that I've met there, and I've preached many, many times there. But I don't know if I'd ever done what a preacher friend of mine did one day. He was in Hawaii, and he came out of his motel, and there was a man sitting under a palm tree reading the Book of Mormon. And he said to him, "Are you reading the Book of Mormon because you're a Mormon or just because you're interested in Mormonism?" The man said, "Mister, I'm reading this book because I'm looking for the truth." And my preacher friend said, "Oh, I know the truth. Aren't you glad you know the truth?" He said, "If you want to know the truth, you ought to come to my room." So he did. "Let me get my wife." And Nick and Mary Porter went to this preacher's room, and the preacher said for the next 3.5 hours, he did nothing but open the Bible, answer a question, take another question, open the Bible, answer that, take another question, open the Bible, answer that. After 3.5 hours, now 3.5 hours, and you're on vacation in Hawaii, my dear wife would not have said a word, but I would have heard her thoughts. "Honey, we're in Hawaii. We're on vacation. We spent a lot of money to get here. You've been going for 3 hours already. Sweetheart, there's shopping to be done and postcards to get and shopping to be done and souvenirs to buy and shopping to be done and sights to see and shopping to be done." After 3.5 hours, Nick Porter looked at his wife, Mary. He said, "You got any more questions?" She said, "Nope." He said, "Me neither." He said, I guess we might as well just get saved." The preacher didn't know it, but Nick Porter owned a large construction company in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And a few months or weeks after that, he got a check in the mail for a couple $1,000. $2,000? "Oh, yes, I have all the time you need. No problem. No, time's not an issue." And every 3 or 4 weeks, he got another check, sometimes $18, $15, $1,200. Went on for a long time. And one day, the checks stopped. And a while after that, he got a letter. Said, "Dear Brother So-and-so, I just thought you'd like to know what a couple of your spiritual kids have been up to. You didn't know this, but Nick is fluent in the Russian language. When the wall came down in Berlin and the Iron Curtain lifted, Nick sold our business. We took the money, and at our own expense, we've gone to Russia and been conducting crusades. Why, the other day, we got stuck on an elevator with, I think it was 11 members of the Olympic wrestling team from Russia, and time we got unstuck, six of them had trusted Christ. And we have signed decision slips of people that have been saved in our meetings, and the number of the slips totals 375,000. $1,800, $1,200, $1,500. That's the bracelet and the earrings. Six members of the Olympic wrestling team from Russia, 375,000 professions of faith. That's Isaac. Karen Weaver is a bus captain in our town, our church, for 15 or 16 years. She only quit because the doctor made her. Her health wouldn't let her keep doing it. One day she was in Buena Vista. Most people say Buena Vista, but they say Buena Vista in our area. Kind of a poor section of town. And she saw a young man, young African-American man, and she talked to him. His name was Marvin. And she said, "Marvin, would you ride the bus tomorrow?" And he said, "Sure." And she went to pick him up, and he didn't come. So she went by the next week, and he said, "Yes, ma'am, I'll come," and he didn't come. And she went by the next week, and he promised to come, and he didn't come. And the next week, he said he'd come, and he didn't come. And I used to say she did that for 3 or 4 months, and she stopped me one service, and she said, "Preacher, I did that every Saturday or nearly every Saturday for 18 months before he rode the bus. But one Sunday, he came. One Sunday he got saved. One day he got serious. And one day he allowed our youth pastor to begin to disciple him. One day he went off to Bible college and he came back and he said, 'Preacher, I think God wants me to start a church in Saginaw.' We let him start it in our building. You're not supposed to do that, I know. Well, it happens, but generally the preacher is not aware of it. We rented him a little place downtown, the First Ward Community Center, and then we found a little building he wanted to have, and we bought it for him. One of our men gave him some help from his workers and some materials, and he fixed it up nice. The first Sunday that they met in that building, the Bible Baptist Church of Saginaw, as it happened, there was only one white person in the service. I wasn't there. The youth pastor that helped disciple Brother Core wasn't there. Karen Weaver was there, and he called her up to that little platform just about a step higher than the rest of the building, and he said, "I want you folks to know something. If it wasn't for this lady, I wouldn't be here today. If it wasn't for this lady, you wouldn't be here today. If it wasn't for this lady, this church wouldn't be here today." I think she's sorry. She went 18 months after one little kid before he finally came. "I will draw water for all thy camels until they have done drinking." Lord, it's a simple truth that's really important. And I pray that you'd help us to be willing to do more than just take the water off of a pitcher on our shoulder. Lord, help us to be willing to see a need before it's explained to us and volunteer to do a job before we've been requested to help, and to keep on watering until all the camels are done drinking. Stand to your feet if you would, please, as music plays.